That help. There's many a person that are grinding out his or her life under an enormous amount of unnecessary guilt in their hearts and their lives. There's nothing that has more effect on marriage than sin. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, I want you to read them with me. I want you to hear what takes place here with Adam. It said, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, not man created man, but God created man, he created man in the likeness of God, made he him. The first man, Adam, God made like himself. Male and female created he them. He added Eve to that. And he blessed them. And he called their name Adam in the day when they were created. In the beginning, God created man. But look at verse 3. Adam lived 130 years after God created him. And he begot a son in his own likeness. The first male God created. Second male, who created it? Man, Adam did. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. From that point forth, what was the division? What caused the separation there of God making Adam and God and Adam making Seth? Something happened. You know what it was? Adam and Eve sinned by eating of the forbidden fruit. You can see up there, time don't mean anything to God. You know? These years trolled on and on and on in here and a large distance of time. We don't know how long exactly Adam was able to stay in the garden and enjoy the fruit of God's handiwork of making that garden, not having to hit a lick at nothing. But because of his sins, he began to have to produce for himself the things that mattered concerning that. And so God made Adam in his image. Adam made Seth in his image because of the sin that came into the world. Second thing I want you to keep in your minds and your hearts is 2 Corinthians 5:17. I want you to read that with me. It said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. Three things you got to grasp out of this that I want you to help me understand. It said, if any man be in Christ, when we become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and our old sins are passed away, he said, behold, all things. Now, tell me up there where he said, behold, all things except divorce. He didn't say that, did he? But what do we say a lot of times? We hold that against people, you know, and we treat them as if they're second-class citizens. That bothers me, folks, you know. Behold, all things are become new. We're going to hold on to that, and then we're going to go, and we're going to talk about what the Lord says. But if any man, that's any of us, we got a past. So I want you to understand something. When that's talking about if any man be in Christ, when he's trusted the Lord as his Savior, he becomes a new creature. I'm no longer the drunk that I once was. I'm no longer the gambler that I once was. I'm no longer the filthy mouth, snuff-dipping person that I was. What'd God do? He wiped all that away, didn't he? If he wiped all of my sins and my shortcomings and my evil doings away, and I became a brand new creature, what about you and your heart and your life? He had to forgive you of something, didn't he? I don't know what your vices was. I don't know what your things that led you astray was. But you had to be brought back into the fold, right? To do what the Lord wants us to do. So when the church shoots the messenger here, we're shooting our wounded. Those that have things. And some things it just seems like we let roll off of us like, I didn't see that, I didn't hear that, I didn't know anything about that, you know. But there's things that, oh, did you hear? Did you know? Did you find it, you know? Let's see what happens here when he makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. And what he's doing here, Paul is talking to the Ephesians. Get this picture now. He's in house arrest, in jail. He has the freedom to get up and stir around, and he can have visitors and stuff. But he can't leave the house that he's been assigned to. But he's got his pencil and paper, or has a scribe sometimes to help him write letters to all the churches that he has visited and established along the way. And he's writing them information concerning them in their hearts and their lives. To the church at Ephesians, which could be the church at Bexley, he says these words to you. And you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. You have he quickened. What does that mean, that word quickened? It means you were made alive. You were dead in your sin and wrong in your heart and your life. And Jesus came and lived and died and was buried in a barred tomb, rose 3 days later, ascended back to the Father in heaven. You have been made alive because you were dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. Every one of us are sinners. Every one of us had to be forgiven of that sin. Every one of us had to be quickened or made alive. He said, in times past, in our past back there somewhere. I forgot about mine, but some people remind me a lot of times. You know, they want to throw it. I remember you when you, you know, and they want to tell me all about my past. I know. But you know what I found out? That's a golden opportunity to witness to them. I said, yeah, let me tell you about the new Larry, though. The one that Jesus saved, quickened, made alive. Wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world. We all chose our own path. We went our own way. We done our own thing. According to the prince of the power of the air. Who was guiding us before we got saved? The devil was, wasn't he? And the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. All those are being led by the power of the prince of the air. Among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You didn't know you was that sorry, did you? What did he say about you? He said, we all had our conversations in time past concerning the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and desires of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, or the hand of God, even as others. If we'd have died in that condition, what would have happened? We'd have seen the wrath of God. We'd been cast into that lake of fire, wouldn't we? But God, not the Baptist church, not Brother Larry, But God, who is rich in mercy, and thank God he was, he is merciful to me, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. By grace. What is grace? God's unmerited favor toward us, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Before he ever thought about making me many, many years later, he had died for my sins. Not only did he quicken us with Christ, but he's raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the things in our hearts and in our lives, what he has done for us. So when we ask ourselves a question, are there any biblical grounds for remarriage and what the Lord is dealing with us about here in our hearts and our lives? I want us to pay attention to what Paul is sharing here. He said, verse 7, that in the ages to come, after he's dead and gone, whatever they do to him, after that, he said, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What did he say? There's a time that's going to come where he will show his exceeding riches of his grace, his unmerited favor toward us, and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. If he hadn't loved us enough to send his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting, where would we be today, devote? We'd be damned to eternal life in hell. He said in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. All of my past, all of that is gone. We probably won't get to all of that today, but we'll talk about it some if the Lord allow. All right, look at verse 10 with me. He said, we're saved by grace, not of works of any man should boast. But verse 10 said, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him. You know who created you? Wasn't your mom and daddy. Before you was ever conceived in your mother's womb, God knew you. He thought about you. He created you. Just who he wanted you to be. Now, who am I to change something that God created? Who am I to make something different out of him? I get all this stuff nowadays where a male wants to be a female and a female wants to be him. He wants to play ball with that girl over there and they're going these hogwash. You know? You are either a man or a woman. You are who God created. And he said here, we are his workmanship. And it's just a sad thing for us to think that we might venture off. I had a note I wanted to read here concerning that. If God made us, we dare not treat others with disrespect. If God made us, who are we to treat others with disrespect of any kind? He said, he created us in Christ Jesus. So whose image are we made in? Christ Jesus. Unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He put up with me through all of my bad days. But when I surrendered and forgave, he forgave me of my sin and wrong, and I began to try to do, I'm still not a perfect person. Still sin, still had to be forgiven, my heart and my life. He said here, We are his workmen, created in his image. Verse 11 says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. Get this. Understand this. The battle here was between the Jew. Who was the Jew? God's chosen people. The ones that he took Abraham and Sarah, one man, one woman, and out of that, he waited years before doing it, but when he got ready, he kept the promise that he made to Abraham that he'd make him the father of a great what? Nation. But all those Gentiles, all those Hebrews, all those Egyptians, all those other folks that the Bible teaches us and talks to us about in our hearts and our lives, the scripture says that the Jews hated the Gentiles and all these nations, and these nations hated the Jews. There was division among them. And he said here in verse 12 that at that time ye were without Christ. You didn't have a Savior. You didn't have a Lord, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, the Jews, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope. Having no hope. And within God, without God in the world. Where would we be today? We wouldn't have a hope, and we'd be without God in the world today if he hadn't done what he did for us. But now, look at verse 13. Now, he says in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, how? By the blood of Jesus Christ. How are we made whole that we're sometimes afar off, deep in our sin and wrong in our hearts and our lives? For he is our peace, who have made one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. For he is our peace, who have made both one. By Jesus coming and going to that cross, shedding his blood, dying for our sins, being buried, raised again, and ascending back to the Father, we have a hope now that we didn't ever have before. Why? Because he broke down the partition between them and their hearts and their lives. In verse 14, he said he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What about you and I? What do we think? You know, I know there's folks out there that says all us Baptists are going to go to hell and all those things that they're, because I don't wear this or I don't put on that or I don't do this or I don't go there. I don't have all, we got all these kind of things, you know. I'm hanging my hat on one thing. That's the blood of Jesus. What he did for me when he went to that cross and he died for me and my sin. But you know what? He didn't do anything for this old sinner that he didn't do for every one of you as well. And if you can't reach back into your past and see back there in your past the sin and wrong that you were living in and how gracious God was to you to forgive you of that and cleanse you from that, why can't we forgive one another? Why can't we break down those partition walls? Why can't we do the things that God would have us to do in our hearts and our lives to observe the things that he would have us to do? When he broke down the middle walls of partition between the Jew and the Gentile, the scripture says that he, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, or the enemy. Who's the enemy? The devil, isn't he? Satan. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, all those things that go back. He's talking in New Testament time now, and they're talking in Old Testament time. They go back, well, Moses said, and this one said, and that one says, and we'll talk about next week, if the Lord allow, what Jesus says. And y'all be patient with me. I've got to finish this up a little bit. The scripture says, he abolished in his flesh the enemy, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two, what? One new man. Why, Brother Larry, are you saying the church shoots our wounded? Just what this verse is talking about here. If God could break down the walls of partition between the Jew and the Gentile, don't you think God can reconcile both God and one man, one body, by the cross? Having slain the enmity thereby, the enemy. He knows where he's going to spend his eternity. He knows what's out there ahead of him. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Jesus came, he taught, he preached, he healed, he died, he buried and rose again. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. One Spirit. What is that Spirit? How do we have access? Who come to live in your heart and your life? The Holy Spirit, didn't he? Part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Thank God that that wooing or that drawing of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives brings us into that relationship. Now, if you don't do anything else, I want you to catch this next couple of verses, okay? Because it's very important. Now, therefore, because of everything that I've told you so far, in verse 19, it said, now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You know, that person that's divorced is no longer a stranger. They're no longer a foreigner. They're no longer whatever. But Scripture says here, but now they are what? Fellow citizens with the saints. Who are the saints? The church, the body of Christ, you know? And of the household of who? God. Now, tell me how you get around that. You're no longer strangers. You're no longer a foreigner. But now that you are a fellow citizen, he said, with the saints, you're part of the household of God. Everything he did in our hearts and our lives. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We put all these stigmas on all kinds of folks. But ain't you glad the Lord is a Lord that forgives and forgets, wipes that slate clean. Now, we haven't touched the tip of the iceberg yet. Where are we going? But I believe with all of my heart, if the Word of God and what it's saying to us, he'll give us an answer. And I'm not saying to you today, this is right or that's his or that. I'm just trying to give you some feedback as to what the Word of God says. Where that when you and I make a decision, that it ain't because, well, ever since I've been big enough to, I've heard it taught. And it's always been, and we ain't never done it that way before. And all these other things, you know. But as all those things, were they correct? Were they right? Were they wrong? For us to make second class citizen, Jesus, ain't you glad he didn't make a second class citizen out of you? You know? Do you have anything in your past? Was you perfect? We all had to be what? Forgiven, didn't we? In whom the whole, all the building fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. If we want Bexley Baptist Church to grow into a holy temple of the Lord, what do we got to do? We got to forgive like he forgave each other in our hearts and our life. Now, I know there's things that have to deal with. We'll try to deal with them, thus saith the word of God, not thus worth, say the word of Brother Larry, or thus only the word of an individual. But it's what the Lord has for us. He said, in whom all the building fitly joined together. We're never going to come together and unite and be what we ought to be until we grow into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation. What do you do when you are part of a habitation? You live in it, don't you? A habitation of what? God through the Spirit. Him directing us in our hearts and our lives. But I believe with all of my heart, one of the things, when that divorce took place, before salvation took place, that God wiped that slate clean. So we take the stigma over here that divorce, you're guilty of everything. When we don't know what in the world was the cause of this, that, or the other, we have to do what? Search out what the Lord says, didn't he? In our hearts and our lives. I go back to that first verse that we shared. You know, that we were all sinners. We had to be saved. Do what the Lord would have us to do in our hearts and our lives. Things that share. Don't give up on, don't leave out him this morning. Don't go saying, Brother Larry, da 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 da. You know, let's put all the loose ends together, okay? There's a couple of more pieces of this puzzle that has to be brought together for understood. He said, any man who trusts the Lord becomes a what? Brand new creature in Christ. Old things did what? All things became what? What does that word new means to you? New, refreshed. Just like Landon and Caleb. When they trusted the Lord, he wiped that slate clean, didn't he? He gave them a brand new life in Christ Jesus, you know, in their hearts and their lives. And there's nothing that he has against me or against you, he won't forgive us though, if we'll forgive ourselves and ask him to wipe that slate clean in our hearts and our lives. Old things pass away, all things become new. Let's pray. God, as you try to help us understand the first step in this very, very controversial subject of divorce. A lot of people has it etched in their brain what they've been taught all their life. But is it thus saith the word of God? Help us, God, to open our minds and our hearts to your word and let your word speak to our hearts concerning what you would have us to do in our forgiveness of one another. I thank you that you broke down that petition, that wall, between Jew and Gentile, Today, I pray, God, you'll help us to break down the wall between the sin and wrong of the past of some and the sin and wrong of the rest, that there's no difference. You're one God. You gave your one Son to die for our sins, that we can know that we have an eternity with you. You know every person here this morning. I pray as you go into this invitation time, these altars are open. They'd be open-minded enough to say, I want to clear my mind of what God's saying to me. Maybe they just want to come kneel and pray. Maybe you're here this morning. You know God wants you to be a part of the family here at Bexley. Maybe he wants you to trust him as Lord and Savior. Maybe, I don't know what he has for you. But you're not denying Brother Larry. You're not denying the church. You're denying yourself the hope of having an eternity with God. Don't matter what you've done in your past, he'll forgive you of it. Not only will he forgive you, he'll forget it. And he'll let you be a brand new creature. He won't hold anything in your past against you, because you're now a creature, a new creature of his. Where he is, sin can't be. Speak to our hearts. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, Brother Ernie.
Live well with my soul.
Oh.